Welcome to Health Connections, a show about people, health, and policy. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. It is assumed that Joe Biden will be sworn in at noon, January 20th, as the 46th President of the United States. As we transition from one administration to the next, we wanted to take a look at what might be expected in the realm of healthcare. There's, of course, a lot we don't know yet, but Dr. Carol Myers of the University of Tennessee College of Nursing and I will shed some light on what President-elect Biden has shared so far about his vision for healthcare in the U.S. Dr. Myers, thanks for coming on today.
Always my pleasure, Brandon. Thank you.
Let's rewind to what feels like a decade ago, but in reality was just last year, the Democratic primaries. There were several versions of healthcare reform articulated by the different contenders for the Democratic nomination. What was Joe Biden's approach?
Biden has a long history with the Affordable Care Act. He was vice president when it was approved in 2010. No surprise that his approach involves expansion of the Affordable Care Act, rather than a single payer plan that was favored by his rival primary candidates. On the campaign trail, Biden emphasized two lofty goals: increasing access and reducing cost.
Let's break these down. What did he mean by increasing access?
Well, let's look at three things that aren't like the other things. The first is making long-term care more affordable through favorable tax changes. One of these would include allowing $5,000 tax credit for informal caregivers. Another is lowering the age for Medicare eligibility to 60, and then increasing funding for mental health and rural care services. But in regards specifically to expanding the ACA, these are the things that President-elect Biden proposed. Eliminate income limits for premium subsidies. Currently, these are at 400% of the federal poverty level. Limit the percentage of income people pay for healthcare coverage. This is a new idea, and payment for healthcare coverage would be capped at 8.5% of income. Also, big deal, President-elect Biden wants to add a public option. This public option, which was talked when the original Affordable Care Act was being debated, would be offered through the Affordable Care Act marketplace. Interestingly, coverage eligibility would be extended to people with employer coverage. It would be administered in Biden's plan by Medicare. Medicare would negotiate reimbursement rates with providers and hospitals. And here's another big point. The public option that President-elect Biden is proposing would be available to uninsured individuals in non-expansion states like Tennessee, as long as the states continue to pay their current share towards Medicaid. So this could be big for us in Tennessee, Brandon.
And the second thing, reducing costs, what did he mean by that?
Well, he spoke primarily of two things: addressing prescription drug cost, and what he proposed was that Medicare would negotiate prescription drug price, and this would be both for public and private plans, and allow people to buy drugs from other countries as long as the price was less. That was the first thing. And the second thing was to end surprise medical billing. I think it's worth noting these were ideas that were embraced across the aisle. We heard Republicans and Democrats coming to agreement, at least moving in these directions.
Well, as the saying goes, that was then, this is now. The campaign trail is a distant memory, and Inauguration Day is approaching. How do things look now?
Yeah, how do things look now? How will they look 2 days from now? You know, Brandon, we're living in a time of accelerating change. But one thing we know is Biden's agenda is ambitious. And the circumstances, which are changing so rapidly, dictate priorities and success. But today, these are the things that we know. Biden's number one priority will be response to the COVID-19 pandemic. He proposes an expanded role of the federal government in testing, contact tracing, and resource deployment. He wants to increase funding to states, localities, and individuals. But, and this is a big but, these actions require the cooperation of the Congress. In addition, Biden has proposed that healthcare reform will follow the pandemic response. In order of priority, he wants to look at coverage expansion and stabilization of the Affordable Care Act, health equity, decreasing the age for Medicare eligibility, drug pricing, and surprise medical bills. So, Brandon, reform can happen at lots of levels, and some options that are available are easier than others.
Let's take a look at some of those possible avenues for President-elect Biden to exercise his vision for healthcare reform. We'll start with the executive branch, which includes the president's power of executive orders, as well as cabinet-level departments, such as Health and Human Services.
Yes, the Department of Health and Human Services can roll back Trump deregulations to restore Affordable Care Act programs and policies to prior interpretations, prior to the Trump administration, and prior implementation. For instance, they can use Section 1332 waivers to support state public option plans, fully allocate ACA outreach enrollment support, and they can reverse Medicaid work requirements, which were permitted under a waiver during the Trump administration. And as we saw in the Trump administration and preceding that in the Obama administration, executive orders can be used to affect healthcare reform. So there are things that can be done somewhat unilaterally through the executive branch.
All right, so as we remember from Schoolhouse Rock and high school government classes, there are three branches of government. So let's take a look at another branch, the judicial. What about the Supreme Court, where there are still challenges to the Affordable Care Act on the table?
Yes, isn't it amazing how this isn't front and center, but it's still something very important. Late spring and early summer, we expect a ruling from the Supreme Court of the United States, and this ruling will either uphold or overturn the Affordable Care Act, either the entire act or at least certain provisions. So we have that looming over all these items that we're discussing.
Well, we'll definitely keep an eye on that, of course, as those decisions are rendered later this year. Let's look at the third branch of government, Congress. The prospects for getting much out of a Republican-controlled Senate were probably quite dim, but with Democrats eking out a functional majority in that chamber, President-elect Biden may have fair winds and following seas on the legislative front, at least more so than he otherwise would have.
It's in Congress where lowering the age for Medicare eligibility and the federal public option will happen, as well as removing the 400% federal poverty limit for premium subsidies. And we could expect that mitigation of the impact of the ACA lawsuit, the Supreme Court ruling, may happen in the Congress. Brandon, Democrats have the slimmest of majority. This could be an issue because of the filibuster. Filibusters are a strategy to delay or completely prevent debate or votes. 60 votes are needed to close a filibuster. 60 votes might be out of reach for President Biden. Now, there's another process, congressional process, that we need to look at, and it's called reconciliation. Reconciliation might be employed by the Biden administration as a way to get healthcare reform legislation passed in Congress, bypass the filibuster. It's important to note that reconciliation was used to pass the Affordable Care Act. We can also expect on another front that President Biden will prioritize issues that have bipartisan support. Prescription drug pricing, pricing transparency, telehealth gets a lot of support. I'm hopeful about that because of the implications for Tennessee. And then mental and behavioral health has bipartisan support.
Well, President-elect Biden will have a heavy load in the early days of his administration, and we'll see what priority is given to these health care reform efforts in his administration. Also important, of course, to mention that Democrats are not all on the same page about this topic either, so President-elect Biden could face some problems from within the party as well. Lots, of course, to track as we look ahead further into 2021. Dr. Carol Myers is a professor in the University of Tennessee College of Nursing and the creator of Health Connections. Dr. Myers, thanks as always for the conversation.
My pleasure. Thank you, Brandon.